You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes!
That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's go!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
Down with the King for years, about 10 of them.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I am your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, the world-traveling Marcus Vandenberg. Marcus, much like Carmen San Diego, I think the people want to know, where in the world are you right now?
Minneapolis, Minnesota. What's up, Nate?
Doing pretty good, man. Just a interesting week of stuff to talk about. And we didn't get a chance to speak on it last week. We did put a little tag on at the end of the program, though. Roddy Piper passed, I think, the day the show dropped.
Matter Friday. Friday afternoon.
And we haven't had a chance to touch on that yet. And you guys out there know that we are wrestling fans, especially the old school stuff. So, Marcus, what were your thoughts when you first heard the news about Hot Rod passing?
You know, sadly, the first thing that came to my mind was an interview he did with Rich Eisen the Friday before. And that was the same Friday that the Hogan news came out. And on this interview, he was totally just off the walls, incoherent, making no sense. I don't want to say he was drunk, but he appeared to be, you know, something was going on. And for that to happen a week later, for him to die of a cardiac arrest, it's just really sad. And you know, he's had, you know, such a tough life, an up and down life. And but I think he famously said that he didn't expect to see himself to live past 65 because
I think that was the clip
of his tough lifestyle.
The clip on Real Sports.
Yeah, because of his tough life. And I mean, all those guys in the 80s and 90s, they were all doing something. I mean, if you haven't read Bret Hart's book, you would think Bret Hart would be this, you know, clean guy, this good image. Nah, Bret was dabbling in all kinds of drugs and very open about it too. So, I think we're at that age in our lives, in these wrestler lives, where they're hitting that point of the early 60s where their bodies are going to start failing on them. And I think, sadly, we might see more deaths like this in the future.
Yeah, I mean, that wrestling life is hard enough anyway. And then when you add on top of it, you know, drug use or abuse in some cases, and the alcohol use or abuse in some cases, and it just doesn't add up to a good scenario. And like you mentioned, you know, Piper passing at 61 is way too soon, because he had a lot more to give to the business and a lot more to give to the industry. And I just thought it was pretty cool seeing the outpouring of support from all walks, all aspects of the world of entertainment and the world of sports, showing love for Roddy Piper.
Yeah, I mean, Piper, he's probably, I mean, you can make the argument he's probably just as big as Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
When you consider his movie career and his feud with Mr. T. So I think he's probably just as beloved as Dusty Rhodes. And it just sucked. I mean, that's, especially with the Hogan stuff the week before, I guess the only positive would be it's sort of taking the spotlight off Hogan, so we're not discussing that story anymore. Since this happened, but yeah, it sucked.
Yeah, once again, Roddy making Hogan look good.
Once again, I mean, and I joked with Andreas about this, but Hogan is outliving everyone. I mean, all of Hogan's rivals are now just fading away. So Hogan's going to be 95 and outlive Vince somehow.
Yeah, real quick, we want to transition from the Rowdy one to, I guess, the his namesake, Ronda Rousey, who just demolished Betch Kahea in UFC 190 and really established herself as one of the most dominant folks in MMA as well as the world of sports at large. What were your thoughts about UFC 190 real quick, Marcus?
I only saw the main event, and I only saw really, I mean, that was on Facebook. That's the beauty of Ronda fights. Ronda fights are so short that, you can upload it on a Facebook platform or Instagram, and B, they're so short that the UFC's not going to bother even pulling it. So I saw the fight the next morning. I was out on the East Coast, and her hand. I don't say one-dimensional fighter, but we all knew she was going for the armbar. But now she's sort of developed into a threat where you have to watch out for a stand-up game. And Betch Kahea got caught against the cage, and she caught that overhand right, and it was a wrap.
Like, it was embarrassing. Like, I was hoping, and I had a feeling Ronda was going to win, but I at least wanted it to be a challenge. I at least wanted it to be a good matchup, but she hit her with that one hit of quitter, and then all of a sudden it was just like the end of that first Friday movie. Like, the only thing that was missing was Ezell coming up. It was like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Because you got knocked the fuck out.
and it happened in her home country when she was talking so much shit.
So much.
Ronda.
Talking about her dead daddy. And
I know. I mean, so now we're back to Miesha Tate.
Which is like, and I got to a discussion with a listener on Twitter about this, because I said that while Ronda is certainly dominant, I would not put her above Serena Williams as the most dominant in sports, because the level of competition for Ronda is not nearly as tough as it is for Serena.
Yeah, I mean, she's got really no one who's a legit threat in her weight class. And, you know, at least women's tennis, they at least have more established players. They might, it may not be a threat to Serena, but they've at least been playing the sport, you know, their,
like really,
their entire lives.
In terms of UFC or MMA, is the only threat out there Cyborg? Is that really the only credible threat to Ronda at this point?
At the moment, yeah. And the Cyborg fight, it's not going to happen, people. She's not making 135.
No.
She can barely make 145. So it's not happening, and it doesn't make sense for Ronda to put her, not only her career on the line, but her safety by moving up in weight to face Cyborg when she's not set to train and set to fight at 145. So I don't see that fight happening.
No, me neither. So, I mean, props to Ronda Rousey. I think that they're going to run into a bit of the same situation that you saw with John Jones a couple years ago, when it was like he's cleaned out the division, what's left, these fights are boring, and you're going to start to see a backlash. But as we saw with Jones, eventually there were contenders that started to rise up, and I hope we can see that in the women's division with the UFC.
And John always had the option of moving up in weight. Ronda doesn't have the option. She's matched out in the weight class that the UFC provides. At the moment, there is no 145 in UFC, only in Invictus, so she's really stuck at this point.
Well, there's always that Floyd fight out there, Marcus.
Yeah, boy. It's better than Andre Berto.
I was going to say, would you rather see the Rousey fight or Berto?
That's a good point.
Because that's to me is you know, we've been waiting to hear who his next opponent was going to be, and he comes out with Berto, and Berto's not a bad fighter, but he is certainly past his prime or past his peak, and this is what Floyd does. Like, he's really good at catching people at the right time.
Yeah, this was I'll just say this: when it comes time on September 12th to purchase this fight, I don't want to hear people complaining on September 13th after they bought the fight that they want their money back or they're upset about what happened, because you have the option of not purchasing the fight. Don't buy the fight. No one is forcing you to buy the fight. And if you don't want to watch Floyd beat Andre Berto, then don't buy it. And I think, you know, he's going to have a hard time generating interest for this fight. And in terms of pay-per-view numbers, I could see this maybe doing 750, maybe. But even then, I mean, you had to factor in college football season. If there's a good college football game on at the same time, I'd rather watch Alabama play than Floyd on a Saturday night at this point for free. So I think this fight is really going to be a struggle for him in terms of, not that he needs money, but in terms of trying to generate some numbers, it's going to be tough for him.
Well, speaking of the struggle real quick, Marcus, you mentioned you're in Minneapolis right now, but you were in Toronto. Did you have a chance to see our brothers up at the Fight Network?
I did. I went by the Fight Network on Tuesday. I had lunch with Way. And
did you have ribs?
We did not have ribs. No. Are You Ripping Me? Did not happen. We went to a place near his office in Toronto, the Fight Network. And went upstairs to see John briefly, saw Mr. Paul Pollock. We saw Corey Ortman. My wife got to meet Corey finally after all these years listening to the Morning Joe's back in the day. But yeah, John and Way say hello. They're doing well.
And I saw you also took in a Blue Jays game.
Yeah, that was a Monday. First time to the Rogers Center.
Was that Price's first game with the Blue Jays?
It was, yes. It was fun. Sold out crowd. It was a holiday on Monday in Toronto and Ontario.
Was it Drake Day?
It might have been, because it might as well have been, because that night was the OVO Festival. By the way, did you hear about the shooting in Toronto?
No.
Did that make the news?
No. There was a shooting at the Drake Festival?
After the Drake Festival, there was an after party at some club, and two people were shot dead.
Damn.
Yeah.
You usually don't get that kind of violence in Toronto. I mean, there's some parts, just like any big city, there's some sketchy parts of Toronto, but normally that type of violence isn't commonplace up there.
Yes, speaking of sketchy, next week when I give the full NABJ recap, remind me to talk to you about Minneapolis.
Did you have an encounter with a former high school basketball star that we talked about on this show?
No, but there is an event tonight at his recording studio.
Will you be in attendance? Park.
Huh?
I said, will you be in attendance?
I think so, but he's not expected to be there.
That was the second question. That was the follow-up. Will Prince be in attendance?
You never know.
Well, you know what Jamie Foxx said? If he is there, just don't look in his eyes, Marcus.
Yeah, I'll try not to.
You might come back a whole different man next week.
Yeah, but Toronto was good. Also saw Morgan Campbell.
Okay, how's Morgan doing?
He's good. He's doing well.
And Morgan didn't come to NABJ this year?
He did not, no.
Okay.
A lot of people didn't. I mean, attendance was down this year because...
Because of Minneapolis?
Yeah, you said it, not me.
Who wants to go to Minneapolis?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen much of the city yet, but I mean, downtown seems nice. It seems like any other big major downtown city.
How much longer are you going to be out there?
Till Sunday night, Sunday afternoon.
Okay, because if you're going to stay a little longer, I was going to say you might want to check out a St. Paul Saints game, because those are always fun.
I wanted to see a Twins game, but the Twins are not in town, so only the Blue Jays game. And, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell the – I should tell the podcast audience. I told you about this. So Monday, we get back to the hotel, and we're coming off the elevator, and there's these two guys walking onto the elevator, and I do a double take, and it's Billy Torgan.
How did you recognize that it was Billy Corgan?
Because he had on that stupid-ass hoodie. The hoodie is international. It travels everywhere.
Did you introduce yourself to the man in the striped hoodie?
No, because by the time I realized it was Billy Corgan, he was already on the elevator, and I was already walking the other direction. And I wasn't sure, so I was like, well, why would he be here? Then I went to the Pumpkins website, and I saw he had a show on Tuesday. Yeah.
Okay.
But Very odd. I should have said something, right?
You should have said something about James Storm trying to kill Mickey James. See what he
Damn
said.
That'd have been. You think he would have laughed? He seemed very serious.
Yeah, Billy's very serious about most things. I don't know
even,
if he would have.
Even Disney. So I don't know if it would have worked.
Oh, Billy Corgan. That is a great story. So, yeah, Marcus not only talked to the guys at the Fight Network, but he ran into – see, I don't know why Pollock wasn't on that. We should have gotten Billy Corgan in on a review and impact.
He should have came by the Fight Network. I mean
– yeah.
Well, I guess if he really did like TNA, he would have been promoting – I mean, you would have figured one-on-one, you know, got this partnership with Fight Network. I'm in town doing my other thing, but, you know, I am a TNA employee. Why not promote the product? But, oh, TNA.
That was it. Maybe he didn't have his made-for-TV hoodie on. It was just his traveling hoodie.
His traveling hoodie, yeah.
So that was Marcus's week. And you know what, Marcus? I think, you know, I hate to do this to you live on the air, but I think I'm going to have to sit you on the bench for the rest of the show.
Oh.
Yeah, we had some results come back, and apparently you've been partying too much. You've got too much Canadian beer in your system. And much like the 49ers did to Alden Smith this week, I'm going to have to let you go for the rest of the show.
But you're going to get me help, right? You're going to be there and support?
I mean, I'll be at least until I find somebody else to replace you.
Oh, okay. At least, all
right. Let me see what Sierra's doing next week, and I'll get back to you. But in case the people want to know, man, where they can keep up with your travels on Instagram and Twitter and all over the world, where can they check you out?
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
All right, that is Marcus Vandenberg. And next week, come back, folks, because we're going to have some interesting stories, I bet, from Marcus's travels at NABJ. And I can tell you, Marcus, can we break the news about your position real quick in the election?
Oh, sure.
And Marcus is now the regional director for NABJ. I heard it was a tough race, Marcus.
It was a tough race.
But you won by a landslide.
One day at a time, 110%. And my opponent got zero votes, so that's all you need to know.
I heard your opponent was a former WWE champion, Vacant.
Vacant. I mean, Vacant was, whew. Man, you thought Cena was tough? Man, Vacant kicks out. Vacant kicks out to everything, man. It's 1-2 kick out with Vacant. So, I'm region 4 director for NABJ, so essentially the West Coast.
And is it a yearly term or bi-yearly, or how did that go?
2 years, yeah, every 2 years.
Okay, so you don't have to worry about this for another 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, congratulations, Marcus.
Thank you.
So, now we'll see. Like, can you still say the same things on the show now that you're an elected official?
That is a great question.
Do you have to watch what you say now? Can this podcast be brought up in debates?
No. I don't think so. We'll find out soon enough.
Yes, we'll have to get
that. We'll cross the line and we'll find out.
All right, well, we'll let you get back to your directorial duties, and we'll catch up with you next week, Marcus.
All right, talk to you next week, man.
All right, that is the one and only Marcus Vandenberg. We're going to let Brother Marcus slide to the side for a bit, but don't you go anywhere, because we have so much to talk about this week on the Kings of Sport. Of course, we've got the aforementioned beef between Alden Smith and the San Francisco 49ers. We've got Tom Brady trying to peddle some more of that phony baloney to the NFL with this Deflategate situation. And, of course, we got Donald Trump going ham at the GOP debates. So you stick and stay. Keep it locked right here to the sports show that's always doing it right, the Kings of Sport.
We have the meat. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling
what
it right.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Everybody will be dancing tonight, feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. If you lose your way tonight, that's how you know the magic's right. Feeling it right, everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and be feeling it right. Everybody will be dancing and we're feeling it right. Everybody will
promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner, at least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and placetobenation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, The Place to Be Podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Sound hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows are available on PlacementNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
This is the podcast that's changing the game, one show at a time. The Kings of Sport, thekingsofsport.com.
It's time to talk about the sport of kings with the Kings of Sport. It's your pigskin preview, your Gridiron Gab Fest, and your weekly football focus. It's time for Second Down on the Kings of Sport.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe-to-toe, football.
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport, powered by Place to Be Nation. Place to Be Nation is your one-stop spot for the latest and greatest news, articles, opinions, and podcasts dealing with the world of sports, entertainment, pro wrestling, whatever you want. If you're interested in it, Place to Be Nation certainly has an interesting take on it. So head on over to placetobenation.com today and check out their great selection of articles and podcasts. You're down with the Kings. Place to Be Nation is down with the Kings. So get down with placetobenation.com. And no, folks, your ears are not deceiving you. This is not a dream. This is not a mirage. Although I don't think you can have mirages that you can hear, so that whole analogy might have to go out the window. But that is the Second Down theme music that you're hearing in the background. And I felt that, Marcus had to step away for a little bit. This is Hall of Fame weekend for the NFL, the official kickoff to the National Football League preseason schedule. And so it's like, you know what? It's time to bring back Second Down. And there is no shortage of news stories to talk about in the NFL. And I think we're going to start off with a story that we alluded to coming out of the A block, and that, of course, is the Aldon Smith situation. You know, the very talented but also very troubled young defensive star for the San Francisco 49ers. You know, went to college at Missouri, was a first-round draft pick, just a great pass rusher from the outside linebacker position. Aldon Smith, once again, finds himself in trouble, but not only does he find himself in trouble, people, he finds himself out of a job. And now the impetus for this was over the weekend on August 7th, following an arrest for his third DUI, a DUI that not only included not only the driving under the influence charge, but an alleged hit and run and also vandalism. He was released by the San Francisco 49ers following that incident in Santa Clara. And unfortunately, this is not the first such incident for one Aldon Smith. You know, in 2014, Aldon Smith was detained and arrested following an incident at LAX in which Smith became belligerent with a TSA agent, which is probably the one person you don't want to get belligerent with at the airport. There was an incident in 2013 where Smith was involved in a single car accident in San Jose, and he was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence and possession of marijuana. And back in 2012, Smith was arrested for driving under the influence in Miami. And so when you add up all these things together, it becomes a case where, yes, Aldon Smith is supremely talented. You know, he's got 44 sacks in four seasons, and two of those seasons weren't complete seasons because he had the injury issues in 2013 and also a nine-game suspension that he had to serve in 2014. So, you know, he's averaged about 11 sacks a season, and he's talented. The kid can rush the passer, which is a great commodity to have in today's pass-happy NFL. But in an age where folks are maybe more concerned about the off-the-field activities of NFL players than ever before, you can't have a guy like this in your locker room, especially a San Francisco 49ers locker room that has been, for lack of a better term, complicated, to say the least. You know, starting with the departure of head coach Jim Harbaugh, headed back to the college ranks, and then concluding just a few days ago with the retirement of Jonathan Martin prematurely. And so now you add this Aldon Smith stuff on top of that, and you create a climate where it's very hard to keep that type of guy around, even with all of his talent. And do I think that Aldon Smith is done? Not by a long shot. Somebody's going to give him an opportunity. Somebody's going to give him a shot. I mean, look at Greg Hardy. Committed some heinous acts and is still getting an opportunity. Junior Gallette, recently signed by the Washington Redskins, despite having been alleged to have beaten up a woman with a belt on a beach, which is just as ridiculous as it is alliterative. So if a guy like Junior Gallette, who is not even half the player, in my opinion, of an Aldon Smith, can get a second chance, I certainly see somebody giving Aldon Smith a second chance, pending what goes on in the court of law. So let's go from one NFL player with legal issues to another more high-profile NFL player with legal issues, although not as serious as the ones that Aldon Smith is currently facing. Tom Brady, Captain America, Tom Terrific, still in the news over this Deflategate stuff, and it is not going away anytime soon. Instead of taking the deal that was allegedly offered to him by the NFL of a reduced suspension in exchange for admitting guilt on this Deflategate story, Brady is being defiant, saying he is not going to admit to these things. He's not going to sign his name on a dotted line. He is not going to go that Pete Rose route. He is not even going to go that Rick Astley route. You know, he is never going to give it up. So that's what happens when Mark is in here. I can sing a little bit. But Tom Brady being defiant in the face of Roger Goodell. And this is a very interesting case, in my opinion, because now you have two sides that don't have a lot of credibility. On the one hand, you have the Patriots and Tom Brady. And they have zero credibility in my book because of all the priors that they have. Whether it's the Spygate, whether it is some of the other scandals that they've had. You know, Bill Belichick is just, he's just not a sympathetic figure or a likable figure or, dare I say, a believable figure. And that even stretches out and extends to Tom Brady and Mr. Kraft from the Patriots organization. But are they less credible than Roger Goodell and the NFL and the mess that they have made over player conduct, law enforcement over the past year or so? And I can't decide who I find more trustworthy, who I find more believable, who I find more sympathetic in this situation. Is it Tom Brady or is it Roger Goodell in the NFL? And honestly, I can't decide. But what I can tell you, though, is Tom Brady is still out here on these practice field streets putting in work. I don't know if you've seen this story, but Tom Brady recently was going through some 7-on-7 drills in Patriots training camp. And the highlight of the day took place when Tom Brady rolled out and sprinted for a 60-yard touchdown, which is amazing when you think about Tom Brady not being the most fleet of foot, to put it nicely. Brady scrambled out for a 60-yard touchdown, and everybody's patting him on the back, cheering and everything. But I have 2 points to make about this feel-good moment for Tom Brady and the Patriots. Point number one, what are you going to do when you're not wearing that red jersey, Tom, and the defenders aren't taking it easy on you when you're out there running on these streets? Might be a different outcome. And second thing, Tom Brady, you may be able to outrun your teammates in a preseason scrimmage, but I do not think you'll be able to outrun the truth. Not even Michael Vick is that fast, Tom Brady, and you are no Michael Vick. So, let's get away from that. Let's get away from the legal side of the NFL news lately, and let's show some love to the Hall of Famers. Let's show some love to the people that are really going to be the centerpiece, if you will, of the opening weekend of the NFL, and that is the Hall of Fame class of 2015. Headlined by the bus, Jerome Bettis, and featuring such great names as Charles Haley, Tim Brown, Will Shields, Mick Tinglehoff, Junior Seau, and executives Bill Polian and Ron Wolf. This is going to be a great day for anybody that is a fan of the National Football League, a fan of the history of the game, and a fan of the greats of the game. And I think maybe the best moment that is going to take place on Hall of Fame Induction Day is the speech given by Sidney Seau, honoring her father, the late great Junior Seau. And a lot of times people hide behind laws. People hide behind rules. People hide behind regulations as an easy way to avoid doing the right thing. And that is what the Pro Football Hall of Fame attempted to do for a while with this Junior Seau induction. Now, obviously, if you don't know the backstory, Junior Seau, legendary linebacker for the San Diego Chargers and the New England Patriots for so many years. I think he might even play for the Dolphins for a spell, if I'm remembering correctly. But Junior Seau was just a great athlete on the field, just a great ambassador in his community, his adopted hometown of San Diego. And unfortunately, his life ended tragically. And a lot of the signs point to his brain not being right at the time he took his life. And that brings into question the CTE debate and the concussion debate and things of that nature with the NFL. And so the Seau family has a pending lawsuit against the NFL, and there's been speculation that that's why the Pro Football Hall of Fame decided not to let Sidney Seau or a representative of Junior's family speak at the Hall of Fame celebration. Now, that's not entirely true, because there has been a rule on the books for about 4 or 5 years where if the inductee is deceased, in lieu of having somebody speak in his honor, they're going to play a tribute video. So the rule was there. Now, I happen to think that the rule is silly. The rule is stupid. And if there is somebody from the family or a close friend or a teammate that wants to speak on behalf of this great. It's their day. They should be allowed to give the words that the player would have wanted to say if he were alive. And so I think that for the Pro Football Hall of Fame to hide behind this rule, and then also when challenged upon it by reporters to say, hey, we're not the NFL, so the lawsuit has nothing to do with this. It's just ridiculous. And so they finally relented, and Sydney Sayow is going to be allowed to give the speech that her father, Jr., was going to give upon his Hall of Fame induction. And I couldn't be happier for that family. You know, living in San Diego for so long, you talk about the great icons of that town in terms of sports, and it's Junior Seau and Tony Gwynn in whatever order you want to put them. And unfortunately, neither one is still here today, and that's very sad for that community and for sports fans in general. But at least the NFL and the Pro Football Hall of Fame are doing the right thing this weekend by allowing Sydney to induct her father into the Hall of Fame. And you know what? Even if she wanted to say something about the concussion issue, which Sydney and the family say that is not going to be part of the speech, even if she wanted to say that, I wouldn't have any problem with it, because it is a part of Junior Seau's career, and it is a part of Junior Seau's legacy going forward. So, you know, it's going to be a very emotional day. If you're a fan of these players, it's going to be a fun day. And then the next night, we get to watch some football as the preseason kicks off officially. So it's going to be a great weekend. I'm starting to get into that football spirit, starting to get into that football swing of things. I even think we're going to have to bring back the Briscoe Sanders Fantasy Football League. We're going to have to bring it back. So stay tuned next week. You'll hear more details about that if you are interested in fantasy football and you want to get down with the Kings of Sport. But for right now, I think we're going to wrap up Second Down and get ready to bring you one of the wildest weeks in Segment 4 history. If you thought Hulk Hogan was crazy, if you thought a police officer singing in Al Jolson blackface was crazy, if you thought Nelly's tip drill was crazy, you ain't heard nothing yet, because that crazy pales in comparison to Donald Trump crazy. Yes, we are going to go in on the Donald coming up next in Segment 4. We got GOP debate talk. We're talking Jon Stewart's final Daily Show. And who knows, maybe we'll even get into some movie talk with the Not-So-Fantastic Four debuting this weekend. So keep it locked right here. Don't touch that podcast dial, because the Kings of Sport will be back right after this.
Got too hot, so I jumped off in his rap. You got it crisscrossed, ain't no turning me backwards. Too many district attorneys concerned with the actions of one individual, he's criminally attached it. I turned in all my ratchets, I'm earning my bachelor's by dating all the models and actresses. I'm learning all the potholes in every single radio. Try not to mess up my access, kid. On the road to the riches through Big Apkin, through rapping, whatever's happening. Rockaware, I'm the young black Ralph Lauren. Every time I get out, they put me right back in. The Michael Corleone, the microphone, the Michelangelo will flow. I paint pictures with poems. I gather no moss like a rolling stone. In case the Grim Reaper visit my home.
It's not just any day. It's Mr. Throwback Thursday.
Hey everybody, you remember when hip-hop was full of dope MCs, fly DJs, and human beatboxes? We do too. My name is Jamie Robinson, and people call me Mr. Throwback Thursday. And along with my co-host Bill Winters, we take you back to that better time. So come join us every Throwback Thursday for some classic hip-hop discussion, a few tunes, and check in on some people you thought weren't even out there anymore. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and always at our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheMrTBT, or just search for Mr. Throwback Thursday. We're the only one out there. And always remember, new school stale, old school fresh.
What's going on, party people and everybody out there in podcast land? It's your man, Nate. And we'll get back to the show in just a little while. But while we got some time, I just wanted to let you guys know the three ways you can get in touch with the Kings of Sport. Way number one, you can tweet us on Twitter, because that's where people tweet people, apparently. You can hit us up on Twitter at KOS_POD. That's CosPod on Twitter. Way number two, you can email us at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. That's thekingsofsport@gmail.com. And finally, you can hit us up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. So there you have it. Those are the three ways you can get in touch with us. You can leave feedback. You can join the discussion. Three ways you can be down with the Kings.
We good, Marcus? Do we have to pay warranty for this? Because I ain't got G-Funk money.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Welcome back to the Kings of Sport, a proud member of the High Voltage Radio Network. High Voltage Radio is where you can find the internet's wildest variety, craziest selection of unique podcasts. I'm talking about shows like Axology, shows like Bayside High and Drunk, Ebony and Ivory Cast, The Gravy Age, Mad Mock, Mustache Cash Dash, and of course, frenemies of the program, Bill and Jamie at Mr. Throwback Thursday. So to check out these shows and many, many more, head on over to highvoltageradio.com. High Voltage is down with the Kings. You guys are down with the Kings, so get on down with High Voltage Radio. As we mentioned at the end of the last segment, it's getting real crazy these days. People are just dropping bombs everywhere. The Fantastic Four bombed in movie theaters this week. Lenny Kravitz dropped that big bomb on stage, a pipe bomb, if you will. But nobody has dropped a bigger bomb than presidential candidate Donald J. Trump. Yes, that Donald J. Trump. If you did not check out the GOP debate this past Thursday night, you have missed out. You know, you don't even have to be a fan of politics to have enjoyed this program as just a spectacle of entertainment. Not only were there way too many candidates on the stage, and I feel sorry for brother Dr. Ben Carson, who basically was reduced to a cameo role in this debate, but you had front and center amidst all the madness and chaos, the Donald. And in all of his Donaldly glory, in all of his Trumpnificence, if you will. Now, you're going to get varying opinions on who people thought won the debate. You know, some people might be in the Jeb Bush camp. Some people might be rolling with Carly Fiorina. But Donald Trump, if you ask him, he will tell you that he won the debate. And I can't decide because, you know, I am not a fan of most of these folks. You know, full disclosure, I am a left-leaning independent. I'm not really down with the GOP, nor am I really down with the Democrats. As the great Chuck D once said, neither party is mine, not the jackass or the elephant. So I really didn't have a dog in the fight, so to say. And I was watching this from a perspective of a connoisseur of politics, especially televised politics as they are in this new millennium, in this new social media age. And Donald Trump was in rare form at this debate, which was moderated by Megyn Kelly. And I am not the biggest Megyn Kelly fan. Often I find her to be an interesting mix of combative, vapid, and condescending when she hosts her interviews, especially if you saw some of the coverage during the Baltimore riots and then the way that she addressed some of the folks that were on the opposite side of the aisle from her. It was just like, you know, this is somebody who is not very empathetic. And so because she is not that empathetic, I really was not that sympathetic to the way she was treated during this debate by one Donald Trump. And they got into it pretty early on. You know, the Donald is not one to become a wallflower. And Megyn Kelly, to her credit, she was there to assert her authority. You know, she was there to assert her credibility, and she almost went in there like a nuclear loose from Bull Durham. You know, I want to bring the heat and announce my presence with authority. So you had these two bulls in this ring, and it did not end well. It did not end pretty. And you had such wonderful exchanges as Donald Trump, Megyn Kelly bringing up Donald Trump's less than glowing remarks he's made about women in the past, and Donald was like, hey, I might have said those things about women, but only about Rosie O'Donnell. Hey! And, of course, it was a big applause line from the audience there. And I don't know why I just turned Donald Trump into Andrew Dice Clay. I'm going to have to work on my Trump impression as these weeks go on, especially if he continues to lead in the polls. But anyway, I digress. Donald and Megan got into it on a couple of different occasions. And Donald basically came out on one of his answers, and he was like, you know, Megan, if you don't like what I have to say, I'm sorry. I've been very nice to you, although I could probably maybe not be based on the way you treated me tonight, but I wouldn't do that. And then after the debate, all hell broke loose. Your man Donald Trump went on the warpath, and he basically was just taking shots at Megyn Kelly left and right, calling her unprofessional, saying that she behaved badly, saying that she behaved unfairly. And then from about 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the morning, he went on Twitter and just was tweeting and retweeting about people that had issues with the way that the Fox News team handled Trump during the debate. And, you know, he came out and made statements like, Megyn Kelly was unprepared and she was insulting. He retweeted remarks from other Twitter users that said Megyn Kelly was a bimbo and you can't out Trump the Donald because you're going to lose, and Megyn Kelly was the biggest loser tonight. Just all sorts of unflattering comments about one Megyn Kelly. But Donald Trump was not content to let that slide. He upped the ante, if you will, as that Twitter said, nobody's going to out-Trump Trump, not even the Trump supporters. And Trump went on CNN the next day, and he criticized Kelly, and that's okay. You know, you can criticize the moderators all you want. They're big boys and girls. They can take it. But the choice of words that the Donald used to describe his attitude toward Megyn Kelly has gotten him in a little bit of hot water. Basically, they asked him about his back and forth with Megyn Kelly, and he was like, I don't know, she had blood coming out of her eyes or blood coming out of her wherever. I don't know what was her problem. And that was one step too many, a bridge too far for a lot of people in the media. A lot of women out there were rightfully upset about Donald's comments, and a lot of people in Trump's own party were offended by the statements. In fact, there is a big event, a red state event coming up in Atlanta. I believe it's either this weekend or the next, and it's centered around a big college football weekend, and Trump was supposed to be one of the big speakers at this event, and he was disinvited or uninvited from this event. And Megyn Kelly, in his place, has been extended the invitation to come speak at the event. And the funny part is, you would think this would tell Donald Trump, hey, maybe I need to check myself before I wreck myself. But oh no, not the Donald. He took this opportunity to not be contrite, to not be self-aware, to not be self-reflective. And instead of saying, you know what, I made a bad mistake, it was a wrong choice of words, I have respect for Megan and I apologize. No, Trump said, this is the fault of Eric Erickson, the weak and pathetic leader of this red state committee. And we'll be doing another campaign stop at another location at the same time, and we'll see who draws more people, because political correctness is what's wrong with this country. And anybody that knows Donald Trump knows that I wasn't talking about anything other than blood coming out of another part of her body, like her nose. That's what I meant, which is just wonderful and ignorant at the same time. And I love Donald Trump as a figure in this pseudo sport, pseudo pro wrestling, MMA world of modern day politics. Do I think Trump is a viable presidential candidate? I don't think so, and I really hope not, because as entertaining as he is, I really don't think I would want to live in a world where Donald Trump is the president of the United States, but that's neither here nor there. The funny thing to me, though, is the reaction from a lot of folks within the Republican Party who are like, what's this guy's problem? What are we going to do with Trump? You know, we can't have this man representing us. And it's almost like, hey, you created this monster. What's the old B.O.B. song? We created a monster, but nobody wants to kill it. You had plenty of opportunities to kill this whole Donald Trump thing years and years ago, but you chose not to because you were mad, because you felt some type of way. And granted, this is no shade I'm throwing right now on like the Republican Party or the Tea Party, anybody like that, because there are genuine concerns and grievances that they had with the government that I actually agree with on some of their points. But I think that taking it to this next level, taking it to this stage of hyperbole, taking it to this stage where you actively root for the president to fail is where this thing is going kind of off the tracks, and where you create a culture, where you create a climate where somebody like Donald Trump is not only an attractive candidate, but a viable candidate. And so now you've got Donald Trump who is just this entity that cannot be controlled, and folks are like, man, this is crazy. What's going on with Donald Trump? Why is he acting like this? And it's like, hey, I don't even blame the Donald in this situation. If I bring a wild pit bull into my house and the pit bull eats all my sandwiches and eats all my bread and all my cookies and candies and stuff, and then takes a bite out of me, that's not the pit bull's fault. That's my fault for bringing the pit bull into my house. To paraphrase the great Chris Rock in one of his stand-up bits when he was talking about the tiger that attacked Siegfried and Roy, and he was like, people are like, what's wrong with the tiger? The tiger went crazy. The tiger went crazy. No, he didn't. The tiger didn't go crazy. That tiger went tiger. It's like, what do you expect Donald Trump to do? He has a track record. This is who this man is. He is going to be entertaining, but he is also going to be inflammatory. He is going to be hilarious, but he is also going to be hyperbaric. Hyperbolic. I think hyperbaric is the chamber that Michael Jackson used to sleep in, allegedly. That's a whole other type of media icon, if you will, that we're not going to talk about on this particular program. But yeah. Like I said, I don't really have a dog in this fight. I would love it if it ended up being Trump and Hillary just for the entertainment factor alone. I have no faith in most of these presidential candidates. You know, it's a shame that I'm feeling cynical again when it comes to national politics, but that's just kind of where I am. Like, I don't feel like any of these folks actually have their ear to the current generation and the future generation. I think that a lot of these ideas, a lot of these proposals, a lot of these plans are still stuck in 80s Reagan era economics and social plans, and we've got to get past that, you know. So hopefully we can have a you know what, I hope Donald Trump surprises me. I would love it if Donald Trump turned out to be a great ambassador for this country, turned out to be wonderful for the economy and wonderful for race relations and wonderful for the educational process in this country, so we can get these kids educated. But I don't think he can do that, nor do I think anybody can do that, because at the end of the day, we are where we are. So that was very, very pessimistic, very bleak. So I think I need something to cheer me up, and you know what's going to cheer me up? A celebration of the great run that Jon Stewart had on The Daily Show. After 16 years this week, Jon Stewart called it quits. He hung up his microphone, if you will, and rode off into the sunset on a great hour-long edition of The Daily Show. Of course, The Daily Show started many years ago by Liz Winstead and the original host, Craig Kilborn. And I love Kilby, man. But there's a lot of people throwing shade on Kilborn this week and in recent weeks as we have marched towards Stewart's final show. And to the people out there throwing shade on Kilby, go sit down somewhere. Because you would not have this Jon Stewart Daily Show if it was not for Liz Winstead and Craig Kilborn. Kilby is the man. Kilby started this Daily Show. And to paraphrase an Ice Cube line, you know, I started this Daily Show shit. And it's the motherfucking thanks I get. But to his credit, man, Kilborn came back and did a cameo in the first 27 minutes of the Daily Show, which was one of the greatest opening segments I've ever seen because it basically encapsulated all 16 years of Jon Stewart's tenure in those 27 minutes. Every correspondent, pretty much every correspondent, every contributor, you know, characters like Darth Vader and Gitmo, the Elmo puppet that was trapped in Guantanamo Bay, you know, they came back to say their goodbyes. You know, people like Mo Rocca and Stephen Colbert, Steve Carell, Jason Jones, Samantha Bee, Asif Manvi, John Oliver, who's my man? Al Magical. I love Al Magical. I'm an Al Magical mark. Al Magical came back. Larry Wilmore, of course, now host of The Nightly Show, came back. Trevor Noah, the soon-to-be host of The Daily Show, had a funny little bit where he came in measuring the stage for alterations for when he takes over the show, which was pretty funny. Rob Corddry and Rob Riggle showed up. Olivia Munn was there. And then you, of course, had the current correspondents, you know, Jessica Jones and the other two guys who I cannot remember their name for the life of me. But to me, the biggest surprise was when Wyatt Cenac showed up. And it was just a really cool self-reverential meta moment where, if you haven't heard, I guess a month or so ago, Wyatt Cenac was on the Marc Maron podcast. And Marc Maron, by the way, is starting to book a lot more black guests. First Obama and now Wyatt Cenac. Like, that WTF podcast, it's a great show, but a lot of times I can't listen to it just because the guests are so repetitive. If you listen to one comedy podcast, you've heard his guests before on other comedy podcasts. And so whenever he brings in some, let's shall we say, less monochromatic guests to his show, I always enjoy his show. And Wyatt Cenac was on there, and he basically broke down an argument that he and Jon Stewart had about a comedy bit in regards to Herman Cain. And Jon Stewart's impression of Herman Cain, which came off very minstrel-like, very Amos and Andy-like, and Wyatt Cenac stepped up to him and said, hey, you know, I don't think you should do this. And they got into an argument, and Stewart cussed him out and screamed at the top of his lungs, and they kind of just... That was the end of their working friendship right there for a while. Like, Wyatt Cenac stayed on for another year, but things weren't the same after that. And so people were wondering, would he show up at the finale? And so they did a bit where everybody's calling in all these correspondents, and then Wyatt Cenac pops up on the screen, and John's like, hey, Wyatt Cenac, you look like you're right across the street. You want to come over? And Wyatt's like, and, you know, I mean, I got some things to do, but I might show up. And Wyatt's like, you good? And John's like, yeah, I'm good. You good? And Wyatt Cenac replies, yeah, I'm good. And just kind of that moment right there, it was both at once a great kind of bow on the tempest in a teapot of their disagreement and a kind of reconciliation publicly of their friendship, and also a great little encapsulation of race relations in America. Now, follow me on this tangent, if you will, because I think that things are never going to be 100% perfect in general. Now, specifically, can a black man and a white man or an Israeli man and a Spanish man or whatever the combination of race, gender, whatever you want to put together, can they exist as best of friends and completely understand each other to a certain extent? Yes, they can. But as a nation, that's never going to happen. That is never going to happen. And until we get to the day and age 100 years from now where everybody just is like a shade of mauve or beige like Derek Jeter or The Rock? I don't even know. Is mauve like purple? Like purple people? Maybe. Okay. Anyway, it doesn't matter to the story. But until we get to that day, you're always going to have issues where the sides don't always see eye to eye. And so for Wyatt and John to have this moment where it's just like, hey, you good? Yeah, I'm good. You good? Yeah. I think that is what we need to strive for in terms of race relations. It's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be kumbaya. But I do hope that one day we can get to the point where it's like, hey, black guy, you good? Yeah, white man, I'm good. You good, white man? Yeah, I'm good, black guy. And just be peaceful and coexist and not try to put each other down or exist in a climate where things are so divisive. So I think that that was a really cool moment on The Daily Show. John's final little statement was pretty cool, too, in terms of being vigilant against all the BS in the world. And, you know, if you smell something, you got to say something. And he did that for 16 years. You know, whether you liked his politics or hated his politics, whether you liked his comedy or hated his comedy, the one thing that you can't say about Jon Stewart is that he did not work hard. He did not hustle. He did not grind. He did not stay true to his principles, both as a comedian and, you know, in terms of his political beliefs. The other thing that I really dug about Jon Stewart was that he provided a place. The Daily Show was almost like a finishing school, like Xavier School for gifted mutants in terms of the world of comics, and allowing people that came in the door already funny, allowing them to hone their skills and leave even funnier than they were when they got there. Like Stephen Colbert is a prime example. You know, the guy that is picking up the mantle from David Letterman. And I think Stephen Colbert is going to do a fantastic job. A guy like John Oliver, who is taking the Daily Show format and maybe taking it to an even bigger level or even better level. A guy like Larry Wilmore that was so good for so long, but kind of on the fringes of television, and through his association with The Daily Show and with Jon Stewart, now has a prime platform to put his comedic sensibilities and his social commentary out there to the world on a nightly basis. And the list goes on and on. And so I just want to tip my cap here to Jon Stewart. You know, I didn't always agree with his take on things, but I always thought he addressed things in a smart and funny manner. And I'm a big, big fan of people that are smart as well as funny. If you can make me laugh and make me think, that goes a long way with me. And for 16 years, Jon Stewart did just that four nights a week. So, vaya con Dios, brother Stewart. And, you know, hopefully we'll see you again in some way, shape or form, whether it's TV, movies or whatever. So that's going to do it for this week. It was a pretty cool show, a pretty interesting show, and we hope that you guys enjoyed it. And if you didn't enjoy it, let us know. Hit us up via Twitter, KOS_POD, CosPod on Twitter, or head on over to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheKingsOfSport, and leave us some feedback, what your thoughts were on some of the things we talked about this week, The Daily Show, Donald Trump, Deflategate, Alden Smith, or, you know, even Ronda Rousey. You know, if you, or maybe you just got some well wishes and support for Marcus Vandenberg, because we all here at the Kings of Sport hope that Marcus can get his life and get himself back together and come on home to America, where we appreciate the man, and you know, we just want the best for Marcus. So hopefully Marcus will be back next week and we can break down his time at NABJ, because as you were listening to this now, I just have this vision in my head of Marcus and his wife hanging out with Prince and Morris Day, and it makes me laugh. So it made me chuckle on my inside. So hopefully they're having a great time out in the Twin Cities, and hopefully you're having a great weekend wherever you are, and we'll do it again next week. Again, you can follow Marcus on Instagram and Twitter, Marco Will, MarcoWill. Follow me at N8, MozaiK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. If you want to hear more from me, you can check out some of the other shows that I do on a weekly basis. Review and Impact from the Fight Network. myself and Brian Mann take a look every week at TNA Wrestling and the wild world of Impact Wrestling. Pipe Bomb Radio is a show I do with the founder, El Jefe, Felix Almeida. This week, we had a show with Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant, which is just awesome. If you have not heard it, go out and do yourself a favor and check it out. Boogie Woogie Man still kicking it, still enthusiastic about the sport of professional wrestling, even into his early 70s. He is definitely a role model and somebody to admire when it comes to just living life, man. Just living your life and enjoying every minute of it. So you can check that out on iTunes and Stitcher. And also, there's a show called Booking the Territories that I did about a week or so ago with Brother Mike Mills from out of New Orleans. So you can check that out. I believe it's going to be out next week, and I'll let you know both on my page and also the Kings of Sport page when that show drops, because we had an interesting hour-long conversation about Hulk Hogan and the state of professional wrestling and a bunch of other things. So if you like hearing me ramble on about interesting topics, then you'll like Booking the Territories. So that is going to do it for this week's edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport. We hope that you enjoyed it, and you'll be back again with us next week. Oh, if you get a chance, take 2 minutes out of your week, folks, and head on over to Podcastland, podcastland.com, and vote for the Kings of Sport for your August podcast of the month. It will take 2 minutes of your day, and we will certainly appreciate it. Thank you for the love. So, for Marcus Vanderberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. Here it is, your moment of zen. And you've been down with the Kings.
Now the good news is this.
Bullshitters have gotten pretty lazy, and their work is easily detected. And looking for it is kind of a pleasant way to pass the time. Like an I spy of bullshit. So I say to you tonight, friends, the best defense against bullshit is vigilance. So if you smell something, say something. We'll be right back.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X. Sharp as a tack, like I just left.